Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Friends, it is my deep joy to welcome you all to worship at Westover Hills on this Easter Sunday. What a glorious day we have to share together this morning in the joy of resurrection. Few announcements in the life of the church. In your bulletin this morning, you will find announcements that will share with you about events that are coming up in the church's life. One thing I will point out to you is that our midweek manna Bible study resumes this Wednesday at noon. If you would like to join us, that's available on Zoom and in person. It lasts from 12:05 to 12:55, so it can happen during a lunch hour. And we will begin this week with a study of the book of Ezekiel. It's a weird one. So I'm bringing in backup on this one. We're going to start this week, but 2 weeks from now, Rabbi Barry Block from Temple B'nai Israel will be with us to help explain what this enigmatic text is all about. So I hope you'll plan to join us for midweek manna. Also, please remember our yoga group meets weekly, and you're more than welcome to come and be a part of that. We are always looking for ways to grow ourselves and to nurture ourselves in body, mind, and in spirit. Also in your bulletin this morning, you will find a short letter explaining to you about a short stewardship campaign we are conducting this spring. Thanks to the very generous investment our members and friends made in the church for 2023, we are very close to meeting our ambitious budget for this year. We set a lot of goals for our budgeting in 2023, and we are very close to meeting that. We are just a few dollars short of the goal. The letter will explain more about that to you, but I invite you to give prayerful discernment to your gift. And if you are able to help us push that goal over the line, it will allow us to meet all of our ministry priorities for the year. This morning is a communion Sunday, and in the Presbyterian Church, we practice what's called open communion. That's a very simple thing. If you want to come to the table, come to the table. Everyone is welcome. Now, friends, let's gather our hearts and our minds as we prepare to worship God.
Good morning. Faith, as you are able, and join me in the call to worship. The tomb is dark but empty. The one you are looking for has overcome the darkness. The stone has been rolled away. The one you are looking for has overcome the death. The burial clothes are put aside. The one you are looking for is alive. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Let us worship our Lord of life. When the day is quiet and the world still sleeps, and the morning is crisp and love breathes again, we praise you, O God of resurrection. When the time is now and the moment is on us, and the place is here, and the grave clothes are folded, we praise you, O God of renewal. When the day is new and the sun is fresh, and the light is clean and the stone has rolled, we praise you, O God of empty tombs. Now we see that see the world differently. What we thought was the way of things yesterday is no longer the way of things today. Death was yesterday. New life was today. Tombs are sealed. Now they are open. Love was dead. Now is alive again. Death has been given a makeover. Endings have a new perspective. Things work differently now. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ is risen, and we have risen to new life with him. Yet we must confess the ways that we have continued to remain in our tombs of sin and death. Together, let us confess our sins, embrace the promise of the risen Christ, and stand together in the light of God's grace. Join me in the prayer of confession. Living Lord, when we stand before the empty tomb, we don't always feel the joy of resurrection. We feel fear, doubt, and distrust. We feel empty. Forgive the fear that paralyzes us to the brink of new life. Forgive our doubt of your love. Forgive our distrust of your surprising, joyous plan. Fill our emptiness with your glorious light. Raise us to abundant new life for the glory of your name. Amen.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. Pete, you with me? Friends, as we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, I invite you to go with me to God in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. And look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it.
Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead, he's going on ahead of you to Galilee, you will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going to Galilee. They will see me there." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. And this, at all times, speak to us as only they can, you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. I want to start this morning by drawing your attention to a particular detail of Matthew's account of the resurrection. In verses 1 and 2, Matthew says, Mary and Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and while they were there, there was an earthquake. An angel descended from heaven, and the angel rolled away the stone and sat on it. Luke mentions no angels. In Luke's account, there were two young men in gleaming white robes standing there. Mark, no earthquake, only one young man in a white robe. John says there were two angels, and there's a cameo appearance by Jesus himself, disguised as a gardener. With all these varying and contradictory accounts of such an important event, it's no wonder that the disciples were a little bit leery of the women's story. And if you were an early Christian hearing this for the very first time, you would be forgiven for being a little questioning about this story that nobody could quite get straight. We have all these different gospel accounts, and all of them tell from just a slightly different perspective. You'd be forgiven if you questioned the veracity of the story a little bit. Yes, the story is amazing. Yes, it does fulfill Jesus' prediction about himself, but they just can't manage to get the story straight, can they? How, with so much contradiction, can you believe any of it? It's a legitimate question. Or at least it would be if we were reading this text for evidence, like we were in a courtroom trying to get all the witnesses' stories to line up together. But what we have here in the resurrection accounts is not a contradiction in a story. It's more like variations on a theme, with each writer adding his or her own twist. And yes, we do have some hers gospels. They just didn't make it into the book for reasons we'll discuss another time. But despite the different tellings of the story, the truth of the resurrection, the core truth of this moment, extends right through all of them. We all have this experience with core truth in a story, sometimes not expanding out to all the details. Occasionally at family gatherings, my sister and I remember the same event from our childhood. She unfortunately has a very bad memory. Our recollections are often similar, but she often gets the details wrong. They tend to make her look a lot better. I, of course, on the other hand, have a completely accurate memory of all events. What's really happening there, though, is that we are all seeing the world through our own eyes, our own experiences, our own biases, all of the things that give us the words to wrap around the truth that that has been entrusted to us. About 20 years ago, I had a chance to learn a little bit about this from a very unusual person. I was serving as associate pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Ann Arbor, which is a very big church up in Michigan. And one year at Christmas, the choir decided to have a cantata, and they decided to do Dave Brubeck's La Fiesta de la Posada. He wrote a lot of beautiful religious music over his career. Brubeck, the great jazz musician. Well, someone in the choir had the idea, why don't we invite Dave Brubeck to come play with us? So we did. And to have that happen, we had to have a fundraiser to help pay for it. So after performing for 2 hours with the choir and his sons, after a 45-minute interview with NPR, Dave Brubeck arrived at our house for the fundraiser. Now, we volunteered to host it because we couldn't afford a ticket. So we got to spend time with this man who was such a brilliant musician. Well, after all of that performance and all of that interview time, Dave Brubeck was ready for some introvert time. So I said, come with me. And we went and sat in my library. And for the next 2 hours, I had Dave Brubeck to myself. That was really cool, y'all. We talked about his experience in World War II. He was part of Patton's army. He marched with Patton in 1944 across Europe. About performing at the White House for 11 presidents. He talked about how he still got nervous playing for any new audience. It was a fantastic conversation. But the conversation turned to the creative enterprise. And he began asking me questions about how engaging a text and writing a sermon is a creative process for me. And I got to ask him questions about jazz. Needless to say, I got the much better part of that deal. One of the things that's always fascinated me about really good jazz is how it is simultaneously organized and chaotic. And he explained how what seems like improvisation is actually something with an important internal structure. And it's from that central theme that each musician riffs off, or as he put it, takes the tune out for a walk. His son, who had joined us by this time, referred to it as the root of the riff. I loved that. The root of the riff. Taking together these different accounts of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ give us four different musicians taking the tune out for a walk. But at the heart of each of their stories, at the heart of each of their tellings, is the root of the riff, the resurrection, the promise of new life. The story of new life is the jazz of God played out in the world. The resurrection of Christ starts it all as the root, and every life begins to improvise on it. Now, I realize it seems like a very odd thing to talk about improvisation to a room full of Presbyterians. We're not called the Frozen Chosen for nothing, folks. Any church with a 500-page denominational book of worship is not a hotbed of improvisation. But remember, the unofficial motto of Presbyterianism is Reformata semper reformandum secundum verbum Dei, or the church reformed, always reforming according to the word of God. We might not be real off-the-cuff people when it comes to some things, but our whole theological concept, our whole understanding of how we understand God, is a riff on the root. You see, we believe the evidence of the Spirit's life and work in the church is found in our constant reformation. With each new generation, the church changes because each new generation takes the tune out for a walk. There's something incredibly freeing in that, especially this morning, in this old ancient text. However hard we may try, we can't put ourselves back in those gospel writers' shoes. We can't experience the moment the way they experienced it, the way the women did that morning at the empty tomb. We can't recapture the sights or the smells or the sounds or the sense of amazement they felt so long ago. So if we leave the story in their hands alone, the text can seem distant, and the very experience of resurrection can seem faint. What we need to do, I think, is claim the tune that they are playing as our own. And as that fantastic jazz musician that said, take the tune out for a walk. We need a little resurrection in this world right here and now. We need the music of resurrection to play in our world right here and right now. And if we are true to our Reformed roots, and if we take serious the witness of the gospel writers, we remember that our task is not to somehow enter this story way back when and learn to play someone else's tune. Our task is to let this story enter us, so that we might do what generations before have done and take the tune out for a walk and see what the music sounds like today. Yale theologian Miroslav Volf told the story of a spiritual retreat he attended one time in the hills of Vermont. He said, at the end of the retreat, we prayed for one another, and I'll never forget the prayer a musician offered for me. He asked God that as a theologian, I would play to the audience of one. I was deeply attracted to that notion and at the same time frightened by it. Do I have the courage, I wondered, to play as if God, the lover of creation, were the only one listening? And yet, unless I do, my fear and timidity will be revealed as a failure to trust and love God. Friends, that is what the Christian life is. We do not play to please the world. We do not play to appease the world. We play to an audience of one. We play to the one who has invited us in to this musical enterprise that is the unfolding of God's promises in the world. Well, it's true that Christ took care to do all the heavy spiritual lifting for us of salvation and restoration and setting right the relationship of humanity with God. That does not mean there is not still work for us to do. Christ does all those things precisely so we may take up the root of the promise of life and riff on it for a while. That is what Easter reminds us of today, friends. Right here, right now, in this moment, in this place, we are invited into the movement to put our own variation onto the music of life and with it proclaim day in and day out with our living, with our words, with all that we are and all that we do, the generosity, hope, love, grace, mercy, and dignity of God. So this morning, friends, this resurrection morning, my prayer is that the risen Christ will be born again in each of our hearts, and that we will have the courage to take this tune out for a walk in the world, that our very lives may be a variation on the theme that is the root of all God's music, the resurrection to new life, the hope and the promise of the one who is risen, risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. Thank you.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. We believe that Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another. With this, unity has become visible to the world as we leave. The separation, enmity, and hatred between people and groups is sin and must be resisted. That this unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, and that we love one another, that we experience, practice, and pursue community with one another, that we are obliged to give ourselves willing and joyfully to the benefit and blessing of one another. We confess that these things in the hope of the risen Christ, who calls us to unity, fellowship, and peace.
Friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's generous hands. Let us return now to God our tithes and our offerings. And as we receive the offering this morning, if you are visiting with us, I invite you to take one of the visitor cards you will find in the pews. You may put those in the boxes you find at the front with the offering, or give them to an usher as you leave this morning. Friends, this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a Presbyterian table, not a Protestant table. It is Christ's table. And all who wish to come to the table are welcome to come, to taste and eat, and know that the Lord is indeed good. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. At your word, the earth was made and spun on its course among the planets. Your hand formed us from the dust of the earth and set us among your creatures to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation, the Lamb upon the throne. The one ascended on high is with us always, as he promised. We give you thanks for the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed. He gathered at table with his friends, and after the meal, he took bread, and giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this, remembering me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and pouring it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for all of you. Drink it. Do this, remembering me." The Apostle Paul adds that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in glory. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, O God, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as the living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion in the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may become one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forevermore. Amen. And now, friends, as Christ taught us, we are bold to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Deliver us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Friends, all is prepared. Come, let us share the feast. Elders, please come serve God's people. As we receive the meal this morning, we will come down by section. The elders who are serving will indicate when it is time for your section to come forward. I invite you to come down, receive a piece of bread and also one of the small cups. All of the bread is gluten-free, and all of the small cups contain non-alcoholic grape juice. Good and gracious God, you have fed us with the spiritual meal of the Last Supper of our Lord. May it be the first supper of a new day, a new dawn, a new life for each of us. May we go into this world and bear the body of Christ as the body of Christ, carrying with us the love, mercy, dignity, and grace of our Savior. Amen. Friends, before we go into this day this morning, I want to invite our Easter egg hunters to go ahead and go to the front door. Ms. Nancy is waiting on you with a bunch of Easter eggs outside. I heard some excitement coming from the back there. I heard a couple of yes. Friends, go into this day to love and serve the Lord with gladness, with singleness of heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us in this and in every day. In one voice may all God's children say, Amen. Amen.